I'd like to read from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12. We'll begin our reading at verse 6, verse 5. Your land shall be without blemish. The male of the first year shall pick it out from the sheep or from the goats, and he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the seaside posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the curtain thereon. And he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, he shall burn with fire. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now we'd like to read in chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, verse 1, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall dwell free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall dwell by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall dwell with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall dwell by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not dwell free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with a nail, and he shall serve him forever. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, wealth digs which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Now a final reading, please, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The 8th Proverb. Verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. The Lord has promised to bless the reading of his own precious word. Now these scriptures have been coming afresh before me, and with the help of God we want to notice some practical things from them. We've read, as you likely have noticed, the connecting thought in them, We read of four doorposts. Now, I'm not sure if this is all the doorposts are in Scripture. I didn't take a concordance against this. These Scriptures have linked themselves to my mind, and with the help of God, we want to notice some things from them that we have been enjoying and have appreciated. We read, first of all, of the bloodstained door in chapter 12, the door of personal salvation. That's where it all starts. In chapter 21, we read of the ear that was pierced at the door, and that's the door of personal surrender. We read in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy of the Word of God being written upon the door. We want to look at that as the door of personal testimony. And then we read of those that are blessed that are waiting at the door. And we want to look at that in closing as a personal purifying hope. Something that we can enjoy as we travel this wilderness thing. Heavenward at home. Thank God that the destiny is sure. As we look back, we appreciate what we have been brought out of when we are occupied with the blood-stained door. I was thinking of it in this way, that in Exodus chapter 12, we have those that are in bondage, we have those that are under the cruel taskmaster's hand, all that twinkled Egypt, under the rule of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, a picture to us of the God of this world. But in the midst of it all, a message went out. God had not forgotten about them. But God had promised, I will bring you up. And as we'll notice through these verses that we've read, that while it was God's promise and his intention to bring them out, it was God's plan and purpose that he might bring them in. That was his purpose in bringing them out, that he might bring them in. And his purpose in saving us was not just to save us from hell, was not just to take us to heaven, thank God, all that is blessedly true. But his purpose in saving us was that he might bring us in. And he has a definite part and plan in his purposes for us. Every believer here this afternoon is in God's plan. And as we've been already reminded in these meetings, God has given a gift, has given that talent, ability that's needed to function in that gift, that work that he intends you and I to do might be done for his honor and glory. A message was heard in the land. They were to take a lamb. And we begin reading that verse 5, your lamb. While hundreds of lambs were offered that evening, were taken and kept those 4 days from the 10th to the 14th day. Yet when it came to the individual, it was your lamb. And that lamb without blemish, a male of the first year. Doesn't say it's without spot. It was without blemish. A male of the first year. There's only one lamb that could ever be said concerning it. Without spot, the Lord Jesus, the one who was sinless, spotless, pure, without within, he only could have said concerning him, as Peter did, that he was without spot. He was the one who gave himself, shed his precious blood, that he might redeem us back to God. He kept those 4 days. And then the whole congregation of Israel had a part in its death. 4 days of testing. Likely, you thought of it yourself. You can hardly read that without thinking of the four gospels that testify to the worthiness and to the perfect one, the Lord Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The lamb was taken and was killed, and its blood was caught on the basin. That's another interesting study in Scripture, is the basins of Scripture. I hardly ever read this, but what my mind goes to John chapter 13, where we see the Lord Jesus the Lamb without spot, without blemish, laying aside his garments, taking a basin, and with water, as that humble, perfect servant, he bows to wash his disciples' feet. We're hearing of him this morning, the humble one, the one who was meek and lowly in spirit. He bowed to wash his disciples' feet. The blood was taken with hyssop, was applied to the door, and they were able to rejoice in this, that as far as judgment was concerned, it was past. That blood-stained door meant peace, meant rest, and meant shelter to them. They were able to enter in knowing that judgment can never reach to catch them. That's where the believer stands today, young believers. Having rested in his work at Calvary, sheltered by precious blood, we can say with the apostle, one of the therefores of the epistle to the Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But I want to think concerning this blood-stained door, that on the inside, while the blood on the door sheltered them from judgment, satisfied the eye of God, on the inside, they were feasting on the roof lamb. Its head, its slaves, and the curtains thereof had gone into the fire. None of it was to be sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, reminding us of the one who entered into the suffering and into the fires of God's wrath. Thank God, our sacrifice, our lamb without blemish, without spot, consumed the fires, and we stand on redemption ground. Paul says concerning him that he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like to think of it in this way. As they sat around that table that was spread, the lamb, his blood was on the door. It had entered the fire. And as they sat around that table, feasting on the one that had given its life for them, they were being fitted to leave Egypt. And I can see in this, at least this is what I appreciate, that as I'm occupied with him, the one who knew no sin, and as John says, that in him was no sin, the one that was perfect, spotless, pure without within, and as Peter says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, as I'm feasting on the loaf lamb, on Christ that is suffering, and his death, occupied with the one who could alone say, I do always those things that please him. Occupied with the one whose path was uncheered by earthly smiles that led only to the cross. Occupied with the one that inwardly was perfect, and God could say that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What it does is this. It causes the world to go strangely dim, with all its fashions, with all its circles, social, political, marital, the different circles of this world that would seek to get its claim upon the believer. But as that the believer is occupied, feeding on him, occupied with Christ, as we've been reminded of the tender mercies of our God, as they're occupied with Christ, the world goes strangely dim. I remember as a young believer, Brother Archie Stewart used to say, we heard him say from conference platforms, that if you get a glimpse of Christ, a little bit of this world will go a long, long way. But I leave that kind of going. When we come to our second portion in Exodus chapter 21, while no doubt the psalmist in Psalm 40 looks back to this portion, and the writer to the Hebrew epistle, the Hebrews, looks back to this portion in chapter 10, and beautifully brings out the perfect servant, the one who lent his ear to the door, the one of whom it could be said that sacrifice and offerings are with us not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And brings before us the pictures of the and types of the perfect servant, the Lord Jesus, the humble one. But I want to bring it down practically this afternoon. I want to look at it in this way, that we think of the doorpost of personal surrender. Here was one, and he had been bought. He had served. There came a time when he could go out free. But his heart had been affected. His affections were brought into the picture. And he said, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go out free. What I want to mention, especially for young believers, the heart that's been affected. We need to guard the recesses of the heart. But show us a heart that's been affected and has appreciation for the one that they come to know and come to serve and has been drawn out in consecration and in a heart of love to the Lord Jesus. The expression of thy heart is that I will not look, but I'll put my ear to the doorpost and allow the marks of servanthood to be placed upon me. That mark that would affect that ear. That mark that would be seen the rest of the life of that bondservant. That mark that would never come off. It was a mark that expresses, I'm going to serve forever. I'm going to yield myself a sacrifice. I'm going to offer myself to God. The mark of servanthood has been placed upon him and affected you. Be the God what we're hearing today. We need to guard what enters the heart because it affects the heart. We need to guard what we're watching, what our eyes are occupied with. We need to guard what our hands might touch. Are we willing today to say, I will not work free. I'm going to serve him forever. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's more that could be said on those passages. But I'm only passing over some of the highlights. I want to keep within my time boundary. When we come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the word, the commandments had affected the hearts. And those hearts that were affected, we see first of all in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, always the heart first. Whether it's a believer being restored, whether it's a believer being drawn away and getting away from God, it's always the heart first. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In verse 6, he takes up the first one, the heart, and he says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's the only place that there'll be protection, that they'll be preserved. The psalmist said, while I was using the fires burned. What's that? That's the word of God affecting the heart. Meditation. A lost art amongst us today. The art of meditation. I was thinking, when our brother and woman was speaking about books and reading books. There's a lot of good books that we have. And a lot of them are the outcome of meditation. That's why there's not too many writing today. The art of meditation is gone. We read the Word of God as though it's a duty. We pick it up and maybe pop it up on the cornflake box and read it while we're having our breakfast, and that's our duty for the day. Brother Archie Church used to tell us, said a lot of things that we never forgot. You can sum no more what's on the cornflake box than you do what's in the Word of God. You know what's on it. You know the context and all the prizes and everything that's offered on the cereal boxes today. But what about the Word of God? I think if our hearts were put into things spiritually, into the study of the scriptures and getting to know our Bibles, like we know other things, our business would go down the drain if we treated it like we do our spiritual life. It affected their heart. And then in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them unto thy children, diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, thou lie down, and thou risest up. That's the soul. That's the whole individual. The Word of God affecting not only the heart, but it's coming out in the individual, and they're teaching it diligently to the children. I haven't time to go into that subject, the vital subject, the subject of children today in the home. I suppose having 5 children of our own, it does put a more burden on our heart, and we maybe can speak of it in a practical way, an experimental way. But raising children today is not easy. But take time, because you only have them a short time. Take time to teach them the Word of God. Take time to hear their burden, things that seem mountains to them, or might seem foolishness to us, something not to be worried about. But their little mind is occupied with that little problem. And listen, you don't take time to hear them, they're going to go somewhere else. They're going to ask somebody else. And if you don't get the Word of God into them, somebody else is going to get their doctrine in. They're telling us of a school classroom, and the teacher, thinking why she had a perfect soundproof argument, she said, you know, children, the parable of the Lord feeding the 5,000 men and the wives and the children, well, that shows us that God can do anything. You notice, He can do anything. He can take away appetites, He can do anything He likes. That's what He did. He took away their appetites. And so, five, the two fishers and the loaves were plentiful. But one little girl in the audience, in the classroom, that had the Word of God taught to her in the home, she put her hand up, and the teacher said, yes, and she said, where did the 12 baskets go come from? That's the outcome of teaching the Word of God. It will preserve the life. It will preserve that child and keep them from being snared in the subtle ways that are being approached to our young people in the schools today. We need to teach the Word of God diligently, carefully to the children. But then we see in verse 8 and verse 9, the mite, and he says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand that affects the service, and they shall be a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. Ah, that doesn't mean that we're to take a paintbrush and go and scribble all over our doors, but it should affect the entrance of our home. The Word of God affects what comes into the home, and the Word of God should affect what goes out of the home. Fathers, as head of the home, they need to have a burden and exercise about what comes into that home, the reading material, what's going to affect your children and your family, your household. You say, well, maybe it's not going to hurt them too much today, but look it down the road away. The many hearts that have been touched, the pearls that have been placed upon brows, that would never have been there had this been seen, had there been exercise about what comes into the door, had the doorpost been affected. But I close Proverbs chapter 8. Blessed is the man. Here is a happy man. I was thinking of the Thessalonians as I was reading this book. When they heard the gospel, they embraced it, and they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait. And I understand that that word wait means to wait up, just like a mother would wait up for her children or her son that's out. It was that waiting up and expectancy, waiting for His return, the coming of our Lord Jesus, having effect upon the hearts of the believer today, has a purifying, sanctifying effect upon the hearts as we're living daily in the expectation of His return. Listen, if we expected the Lord to come today, would it make a difference in our life? Would it make a difference in our business? Would it make a difference in what we're going to do in this week that lies ahead of us? Would it make a difference in our service? And as we go out to preach the gospel and to speak the soul, would it make a difference in our approach and in our compassion and our vision for those that are going down the broad and cluttered road? Would it make a difference? Would we be more diligent in our gospel preaching?
will be a difference in those that are shepherding in the assembly and care for the flock if the coming of the Lord Jesus was set before us. The doorpost. Watch. The Lord is coming. Perhaps you'll come today. Our little day of service will be over. We look back, we see the door that's stainless glass with any of these. Are we ever put our ear to the door and a mark of service placed upon us? As our home, we could have gone further to pick up the house of God marked by the word on its door. Are we watching for the door post at his return to come? Are we able to stay like John of old, even so, on Lord Jesus?